All right. Welcome.
Welcome.
All right. So one, I just want to say I appreciate you guys rocking with us. We're excited about the future, and we've been getting your responses from past episodes, and we're excited to be bringing you guys this series and digging in. So this is another episode of Real Life,
Real Love, Real Family. It's your girl Melody.
Stop doing that.
Put that in real quick. Yeah.
So it's your man, Words Taylor.
And today we are talking about...
Can you introduce yourself?
No. I already introduced myself.
My God.
They know who I am.
Like, they got to get used to, like, the structure of what we do, how we do, like, the
right,
intros.
And what they know is that I run the show. You just pretend like you do. If I want to do my name first...
This needs to be a podcast.
My name is first.
Like, this needs to be a podcast in itself.
It is. It's going to be one day. You just wait. But yes, so today we have an oldie but goodie topic.
Yeah.
We're still in the series, 10 signs that you may be wasting time in your current relationship. And this is sign number 5? 5.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is sign number 5. Listen, I got so many signs in my head, y'all, that I done lost count.
Mm-hmm.
But... sign number 5, oldie but goodie, is you may be wasting time in your current relationship if you notice that your significant other acts different with you when you guys are one-on-one versus when you are with other people. Now, I mean, this was one that I honestly had to fight with, y'all, because Words was really trying not to make this a topic. Like, I don't even get it. I don't get why he didn't understand it, but... of course, it has to be because he's never really experienced it, right? Because, as you could tell with this podcast, he's always trying to be in the lead. So, why?
I just didn't feel like the topic was, like, it was, I don't, well, maybe I don't know that it's happening that much. I can definitely understand why we're doing it, where it's happening at, where, you know, maybe someone is being treated differently alone. And then they are in public, which is, you know, why you have to go back to Beyonce with the say my name, where, like, you know, last night you were like all in my face saying, baby, I love you. And now, you know, that you're out in public with your friends, even if we're not together, you're acting different. You're not saying, baby, I love you. You're not, you know, engaging me the same way you would. So I can definitely see. I didn't think it was a whole podcast worthy, but, you know.
Well, and I mean, just impromptu, let's break down the prophetess Beyonce.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, y'all know B is the prophet.
But what is she saying
in this? Let's be real. Why is she even telling her boyfriend to say her name? Well, I mean, she's implying that there may be some cheating that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that ultimately, his not being able to say her name is creating an insecurity within her.
Right.
And so that actually leads to one of the biggest things. I think maybe you aren't able to identify with this because, and I can only speak about this from the viewpoint of a woman, but also a black woman, but also a plus size woman. So these are 3 things that really have made this more of a reality in my life, probably more the plus size and the being black. And it's because I have been in relationships, because, you know, I was with people before you. Like, I had boyfriends before.
They don't matter.
And, you know, I've been in several relationships with guys of other ethnicities, but then also with guys who were black just like me, but maybe weren't comfortable with something about me, be it my size, be it whatever. And so from that, I really had to learn to figure out what was happening. Like, I had to figure out the root cause of what was happening, because I had guys who we would be together, guys of other ethnicities, we would be together, we would be just fine. I might get one friend or two friends, but I wasn't going home to meet mama and daddy.
Right.
And it wasn't because I wasn't trying. I had to realize, oh, there's something else happening there, and that's why I can't go there. Or I was with guys who...
okay, I feel like you're speaking in code. Like, Can you just say what are you saying?
Well, I mean, maybe they weren't used to their son dating a black woman.
Okay.
Like, let's be real. Racism still exists in our world. Okay. You know, we've learned that so much more this last 2 years than ever. And so that was something that I experienced on a few different occasions. There was also the situation where I was a big girl and I had this guy. Let me tell y'all. Okay. Your girl has always had game. You know, I pulled words. And, well, he stalked me, but I, you know, let him believe that he was, like, you know, stalking me, really.
Just go on with your story.
but I always, would go after, because prior to words, I actually was the pursuer. And I always would go after guys who, you know, everybody else wanted. Guys who everyone else were infatuated with. So if all my homegirls was like, dang girl, he's fine, that's probably who I was going after. Mostly because I was insecure myself, because I was a big girl. And so I felt like they all underestimated me, said I couldn't do it, so I pursued it. But in being in those relationships, I often found myself a closet girlfriend. I often found myself the girl who, you know, when it was just me and him, ooh, baby, I love you, and all of this good stuff, we about to be together forever. But whenever we would be in school, whenever we would be out with everybody else, I was just one of the homegirls.
Right.
And, you know, it was a closet romance. Nobody ever really knew that these things were happening. And even still now, like, yeah, I may got some little pictures from dances and stuff like that, but it was just us in the line to get that picture. Nobody else was around when we took it. You know, right, things like right. that. So that's why I wanted to speak on this. That's why I'm so passionate about this today. Because if this is happening in your relationship, it took me so long to figure it out. Ladies, I don't want y'all to figure it out, be in it as long as I was. Because it can create some real damage, you know, within you.
Before you go into what it created, like, so I can definitely speak. I've been in a position where I've, like, not wanted to hold hands with the girl because...
Okay!
I get it. So, and the reason being in that, you know, the problem is on both ends where the girl is wanting to hold hands because she's like, I want to show that we're together. I want public, you know, a public display of affection. Mm-hmm. I want, you know, other girls to see that you're taken and all that. And I just was like, I don't want that. So, yes, in public, I'm like, okay, let's just, you know, and I know, let's just, we know, okay? We ain't gotta, like, we all share the same straw, all of these things. That's in the past. Like, I am, like today, I am, like, mm-hmm. all about, you know, PDA and, you know, let's share the same straw. Let's sit next to each other, hold hands.
I don't want
to
share the same straw.
Let's kiss in public. Let's, you know, pat your booty in public, all that type of stuff. But I would say is, like, this is only a problem if there's a significant other inside of the relationship that really desires it. And you know your significant other desires this public display of affection, however that may be, and you choose not to do it. Like, I feel like it's a problem there. But if there's a relationship out there, or a marriage out there that says, like, that's just not us, I don't think this topic is necessarily a problem as far as, you know, maybe they say, like, well, when we're by ourselves, this is how we're going to be. But in public, like, I just, we both are in agreement that we're just going to chill. Like, this is how we are. I don't think it's a problem in that case. But if there is a significant other in a relationship that is saying, like, no, you act different in public, and I want that same consistency that you were giving me at home or behind closed doors, I want that in public as well, then that's when I can see this being a problem.
Yeah, because I mean, I would challenge it and say that this isn't just about public displays of affection. The title being, he acts or she acts different with me one-on-one versus being in a relationship, like being with other people. And so if it's a conversation that we had, then that doesn't apply.
Right.
Because if we had that conversation ahead of time, you know, not everybody is like you. Not everybody wants to be running around smacking people's butt. Right. And doing all that. And I'm actually one of those people. I'm more like, babe, pull back in public. Like, stop, get off me. Mm-mm. Like, you know, whatever. And so, not everybody wants to be like that. So if we have that conversation ahead of time, we establish these are our rules when we are in public, these are our rules when we're at home, that's fine. That's one thing. But what this is referring to is really, you're with me one-on-one. It's like, we are inseparable. There is, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. this is a real relationship. But when we get out of this space, I then could be just another person in the room. Right. And you don't acknowledge me. You kind of come across as though you don't even value me.
Right.
And so I think one thing about this, though, and one thing that I'm able to realize now, being a woman who is an adult, is that when I dealt with this, honestly, I was dealing with very immature men.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not something that as a woman I would envision that it would occur. And I don't even have to envision it now because, you know, I got Mr. Right here, you
know? Absolutely.
So, but one thing, as you were speaking, and you were kind of talking about how you have been in this situation, that kind of, what sparked in my head was that acting like that, so being in I don't know if it's a relationship, whatever, acting one way when you guys are together versus when you are apart, what that can do is that can create an imbalance in the relationship's weight.
Absolutely.
So, like, yeah, one good. Person is like, ooh, this is my boo, I love him so much, or her so much, and the other person is like, nah, I mean, we good. Like, yeah. We just in here. And that's because you're not being 100.
And this is where the question of what are we
yes.
comes from. Because
yes.
of those. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Because of those two-sided things. Now, in a marriage, how it creates that imbalance of, I feel like it's more detrimental in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Just because... Oh, it can have
or even a committed relationship here.
Yeah, committed relationship as well. But I'm just speaking like specifically marriage, because you've made like this commitment and this covenant, and this person is treating you this way. Now you deal with certain insecurities that may pop up. You know, you start to feel unwanted. You start mm-hmm. to feel unloved. You start to feel insecure about how mm-hmm. you look and
hold on.
Of those things. Yeah.
We was on the problem. You going into, you know,
the next question. This is the problem.
Well,
that's the problem.
No, this you know why you're right. That is why this is the problem.
Right.
So I'm gonna say that one more time. What? I ain't messing with you.
Say it one more time. You what? You say you what?
You're wrong. So one thing that so because you were heading into that next one.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just real quick hit this with, you know, why this, we've talked a lot about why this could possibly be a problem, but there were a few points that I had, and that is how to even identify that this is a problem is the idea that, you know, think about when you get something that you're extremely proud of. Let's say you get a new car. And like, this is that thing. What's the first thing you're gonna do with this car?
You're gonna drive it around.
In an effort to show it off to everybody.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
We put time and effort into the things that we value.
Mm-hmm.
And so that should be a huge red flag if the person that you are committing yourself to in a relationship isn't willing to show you off.
Right.
Like, the person isn't willing to say, this is who I love, this is who I want to be with, this is who I value in a public setting.
Right.
Don't do it to me behind closed doors.
Right.
You know? And then the main point and the main reason why I want to talk about this is because I experienced this, is that if this is not addressed, this could actually lead to your emotional distress and take a toll on your confidence.
Right. Which is what I was saying. It's like that idea of now you start to feel insecure about how you look. You start
yes.
to question, like, are you loved? And then you even, as a person, male or female, start to think, well, this is just the standard. This is how
yep.
love looks. And we don't want that. And so what you should be doing prior to even starting in a relationship, or when you're just getting into a marriage, or if you're already into a marriage, is like reestablishing or establishing those standards, like we talked about in the first, you know, couple podcasts, is once you establish standards, then it's up to you not to compromise those things.
Exactly.
So the standard of, like, do you want public display of affection? How does that look for you? How do you want to be treated? Like, identifying the consistency that you want in a relationship. I think that's something that's key in order for this not to happen. Inside of a guy's head. So here's a perspective from a guy. Please, and why these things happen. Like, for instance, there's a few reasons. One is I'm not wanting to really show that I'm taken, right? I want to still have the option to, you know, to flirt, to mingle, to do other things, and I don't want to feel trapped, or I don't want to feel like I'm now in this relationship and I have to show other people that I'm in this relationship.
You letting the secrets out today, ain't
so,
you?
So here's the thing. If I'm allowed to get away with just, okay, yo, we just gonna chill behind the scenes and I can feed you whatever lines or whatever to make you feel secure, because that's the goal is to create this false security, right? Is to create a security of, yeah, no, it's us, is, you know. And then I even say this in that poem, the one poem that I was talking about, you know, we feed you these dreams until you click on the switch that says loyalty. Women, I feel like women have a switch that once they hear enough, or once they feel like there's a any type of commitment, then there's a loyalty switch that just clicks on. And I think men often take advantage of that switch, because you know the woman's going to be loyal to you. And now, because you have that loyalty from her, it's like, I can definitely continue to feed that. But, you know, on the other side of things, I can still, you know, pretty much have my cake and eat it too, because I know that because that loyalty switch is kicked on, even if I mess up, I can still come back and, you know, apologize or whatever the case may be. So that's one thing. I'm not really wanting to show commitment. That's two is, you're not trying to get caught up in public, you know. So that's another thing, is like,
there's gonna be some men that
right,
this podcast,
right. Two is like, you're really figuring, like, man, to do the public display and taking selfies and all of this stuff, and it's just too much, because then that can easily, you know, get you caught up, or that can easily get other people paying attention, and it's like, I don't want to do that. And then, like, honestly, there's still, like, let's go to some more positive things. Subconsciously, in men, we're still wanting to know that we're capable of being, you know, being sexy or being attractive to other women. Like, we still want to know that this is possible. So, but if you just broadcast the marriage and all of this stuff, it's like, that fully takes me off the market of even being desired. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things.
I would give you all those other ones. I can't give you that last one, because women feel the same way.
I'm not okay.
Like, absolutely. Like, to know, like, you better watch out, because I just went to the store. I had about three dudes try to holler at me.
Right.
I still got it.
That just,
like,
feels good. Yeah.
It does feel good. But at the end of the day, that don't keep me from kissing and hugging and loving on the one that's mine. Because that's the thing. Like, yeah, you may try to holler, but he got it.
Right.
And I want the world to know that he has it.
Right.
You know?
But also, let me finish my last one. My last one is this. Like, just to kind of save face with the fellas. Some fellas is just not, that's just not their swag as well. So, that could be another reason why it's just not their swag to do it in public and be all lovey dovey. And
but you still focusing on PDA. It's not about,
but listen
just
to what PDA. I'm saying. I'm not just saying PDA. I'm just saying, like, it may not be their swag to do the I love yous and all of these things in public, or but I get you, and there can't be just a situation of no acknowledgement in public. Like, that's right. Not we're not rocking with that. That goes into the first three things that I said, mm-hmm. right? If there's anything like that. But I'm saying if a man is rocking with you privately, but, you know, publicly, he's still rocking with you, acknowledging all those things, but maybe there's not a, like, oh, let's kiss in public, let's hold hands. You know, that could just be his swag. Like, you know, that's not what I do for real. But
lack of swag.
Or lack of swag. but honestly, for me, I'm the complete opposite now. Like, I want to show and take pride in, you know, if you guys ever look at my Facebook or Instagram, like, I love publicly. I love hard, and I'm proud to show off baby. I'm proud to show off our kids. I'm proud to show, you know, who I'm committed to. I think that's huge. That's important for people to see that and know that. And that's what you want in your relationship. Absolutely. That you want someone to be proud that, man, I'm dating this person, I'm married to this person, or you want that proudness and that validation, and I think that's huge to have. So yeah, if you're not getting that consistency in publicly and behind closed doors, then there should definitely be a conversation that's happening.
Absolutely. One point I do want to say, y'all, I can't even begin, this podcast would not be long enough to express the amount of work that I had to put into having words, be able to have public displays of affection.
That's real.
Do you know he would not hold my hand in public if we were walking? Like, if we were sitting somewhere, he would be fine to hold my hand. Like, we're at the movie, something like that. But if we are walking somewhere, he would not hold my hand. And when I would hold his hand, he would begin to swing it like a 5-year-old child. Like, it was embarrassing, yeah, just to be in the situation. So he has come just felt a long
like,
way.
So that just felt mad corny, though. It just felt... and then, of course, there was still some, like, dang, you just gonna lock a brother down like this? Just you trying to hold hands on the campus and everything? Like, shoot, this is too much, you know? And so, and that's not knowing fully how to love and not knowing that it's not about me in this situation.
Right.
It's about, I told you guys in podcasts before, even though your significant other, it's their job to validate themselves and, you know, be secure in themselves. But once we take on the commitment to them, I feel like it's a part of our job as well, right, to help build that insecurity. So when your significant other is asking for certain things publicly, I think it's part of your job to help build that up, because you're a part of building up their security. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer about you. Once you commit to a person, especially if you are married and you've exchanged vows, it's not just about you any longer, mm-hmm, and what you desire. You have to think about your partner as well.
Absolutely. The only point that I want to add just on the damage that this can cause for you is, you know, if you keep yourself in that relationship, this actually impedes your ability to trust in future relationships, because you'll eventually get out, like, well, prayerfully, because eventually the prayer would be you've had enough. Like, you just identified that this person doesn't value me to the level that I need to be valued, right? So you move yourself from that relationship and you vow to never experience that again. But the issue is that you have been bombarded by so many insecurities that you then go into your next relationship like depleted in trust.
Yeah.
And really having to try to, you know, rebuild in that area. So the whole point of this theme and this series is really like, if these things are happening within your relationship, let's start having real conversations. This is real life, real love, real family for a reason. Let's have real conversations so that we don't see ourselves 10 and 15 years down the line having the conversations then, the conversations we should have had now.
Right.
You know, because who wants to waste their time with someone that really isn't worth their time?
Yeah.
Like, that's just not it. You know, and so what are some solutions that you can do if you find yourself to possibly be with a person who treats you in the way that we've described? And one of the things that I just said was just have real conversations to get to the root cause. You know, words alluded to one of a saying that he actually taught me, and I say it quite often, and he said that he got it from his father, but it was just really, you know, people only treat you the way that you let them. Yeah. And so
have you said this?
I've said it, I say it often. Mm-hmm. And that's real, because when he told me that, that was like, oh shoot, you're right. Like, I control how people treat me. Yeah. And if you're not going to treat me to the standard that I desire, then you're going to get out of my life. Like, right. You're going to move on. Right. And so if you find yourself in a relationship with a person who treats you in a way that you don't desire, it's time to have real conversations. Let's get to the root cause of why this is even happening. And is it something that's even repairable, you know, within your relationship? Or maybe it's something there, professional help is needed. I got to move on.
Right, right. And I wouldn't... Here's definitely a solution. I love that. You know, everything that we're telling... Okay, you're just going to cough the whole podcast?
I got something in my throat.
Like, but the whole podcast, though?
I coughed twice. You are so dramatic.
It's like three or four times. You all count how many times and then comment on this and tell us exactly how many times it was that baby coughed. That baby coughed. Please count these as well.
These are not coughs. These are dramatic throat clearings.
Oh, goodness. But I think, yes, everything that, like, part of the number one solution that we're always going to go back to is having a conversation, having a real conversation. Again, this is probably a huge barrier in a lot of relationships is people are not talking. You're holding on to stuff. You're getting hurt in your relationship, and you're just holding on to it. You're just I'm just mad. You just walk around mad, right? You walk around hurt. You walk around angry, but you're not having a conversation. And so, therefore, a good example is, you know, when we first had our daughter, my wife was walking around. You know, I would say, babe, like, you always late. Or whatever, and I would get my stuff, get dressed, and be waiting at the door, or whatever.
Sit down.
And so then I'm like, I'm waiting on you. Well, she's like, finally, you know, a few days later, she's like, well, babe, you don't understand that I didn't got the baby bag ready, the bottle, this, all of these things.
Myself, and the baby, I done did all this stuff, and you just got your one lowly self ready. Like, you didn't have to do nothing else, and you sitting there.
Right. And so now, she's walking around mad, and I don't even know why you are mad. It's because you're not willing to have a real conversation. And then, so this stems, we can trace this back to, this is how our family handled disagreements or whatever. They just wasn't talking, didn't expect the person to get over it. I'm not that person. It's like, yo, you gotta communicate. And so once the communication happened of, all right, babe, this is why I'm frustrated, then now you just set a new standard, a new expectation in your relationship. And so now that person has to meet the expectation, because you're gonna keep bringing it up. Like, oh, hey, babe, remember you're supposed to, can you get the bottles and stuff ready and all those things? It's like, okay, cool, got you. No worries, right? But if the person not willing to do that, then y'all got a whole other problem. Another solution that I would say is that we do, especially if things get really, really rough, and I wasn't open to this in the beginning, is counseling, therapy. Like, you can find a couple. I always say, like find a couple that is 10, 15 years in a game, or even they don't even have to be that far in the game. Find a couple that is where you want to be in your relationship, and start really leaning on them and going on double dates and things like that, and being real and asking them. And you gotta, so I know men, sometimes we get a little prideful, like, man, I don't want people in my business and all that, but that's why I said find a couple where you want to be and start to build trust with them, so you guys can get to a point where you say, yo, we're struggling here. We're struggling with this. We just had one of those sessions at the dinner table with two of our best friends, where we're like, look, hey, they're struggling with some stuff in their marriage. We're struggling with some stuff. And so we all talked it out. right there at the mm-hmm. doggone dinner table at a restaurant. Like, mm-hmm. that's dope. That's the type of stuff you want. And so when you do that, now you have some people that you can be accountable to. You have some people that are checking in on you. You have, you know, some solution-oriented marriages that you're around that's going to help you continue to move forward. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to find yourself of you and your partner just trying to work it out on your own, mm-hmm. especially when there's already intensity and anger and hurt involved. Because when you hide it or when you try to stay closed mouth about it, that's when, you know, the devil gets to work. That's when all of this hurt gets to stay and linger and all of that stuff. And that's when breakups happen. That's when divorces happen. When you just stay in it on your own. So I think that's definitely one of the solutions, another solution, I would say.
Well, and even to expand on that one, even if you don't have a couple that you see yourself that you want to be a part of, professional therapy is good as well.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, I meant to add that.
Professional. We have, you know, reached out, and all of ours came through just referrals, you know, friends and that we knew that had gone to talk to relationship counselors or marriage counselors, and you know, we would ask around and get that. But if you don't have people who do those types of things, because I know, first of all, in the Black community, going to a professional is not talked about and it's not encouraged as much.
Right.
And so we definitely want to be transparent in that, because I don't know about you, but I would say that it's created some great just help and longevity within our relationship. Mm-hmm. We both also do individual every so often. Mm-hmm. And so I am a huge proponent for therapy because I know the benefit that it does. You know, when
I am now. I wasn't in the beginning.
Yes. We'll have to talk about some of the stuff from before.
Right.
But you know, when you take care of your mental health, you're taking care of your total health. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. And so definitely don't be afraid to go seek professional therapy as well. And it may not even have to do with your relationship. That's the thing. Like,
true. Yeah, that's good.
The situation, the reason why your significant other may be doing these things may have absolutely nothing to do with you. I mean, maybe they have trouble with their familial or friend relationships. Like, so the people who they grew up with, they don't want to bring you around because they're not good relationships.
Right.
Okay. I mean, or...
Or they could be insecure themselves.
They could be insecure themselves. Maybe their family and their friends, maybe they don't live in safe environments. Like, maybe they live in a place that, you know, I grew up in the hood. Maybe it's a spot where at a certain time the lights go out. You need to be, you know, tucked in safe somewhere. You might get shot or something like that. Like, it, yes, that's extreme. But what I'm saying is, it's extreme. But you know what I had in my head was the thought that when we went to your father's property and they got to hooty hoo and we had to run up out of there. Okay.
Yeah.
So
what does that have to do with the...
Because he or she may not want to take them around their family because that's the community that they live in.
Okay, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. And these are just hypotheticals. The whole point that I bring out the hypothetical is to say it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
And you putting that insecurity and that pressure into that situation may be completely wrong. That's why we have to have these real conversations.
Yeah.
Because you can't assume that it has something to do with you when you haven't been told. And if you are the one who you know, is refusing to act the same one-on-one with your significant other versus in a different space, it's your responsibility as well to have those conversations with them as well. Absolutely. And to just be real.
Right. You should write this down because that's a whole nother podcast. Like, we won't get it because that's a whole nother topic. Like, when we start assuming or inferring what the other person is thinking or why the behavior is the way it is. So that's the reason why we have conversations. So we take away the you know, assuming or inferring.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you assume, all right, you don't... nobody ever assumes... myself, I kind of do sometimes. But nobody ever assumes the positive side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody ever assumes, well, you know... maybe he just did that because, you know, it's always the worst possible equation ever.
Always.
And so it's just pretty much like
always. I said always. Yeah. So, and what you go looking for, you will find.
Exactly.
You know, so, I think I seen it on TV. They were saying when you assume that makes an ass out of you.
Right.
That's the first ASS.
Oh my God.
UMING. That's how you spell assuming.
Right.
So when you assume, it was Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay. So we're gonna.
It's Whoopi.
So what we're gonna do is, all right. So just to talk about some of the benefits of, you know, when you're treating your significant other, if you're gonna be loving to your significant, and let's just real quick, like 1-2 minutes, flip it on the other side. If you are fronting and you're treating your significant other like dope in public, like dope, I mean like a queen or a king in public, but behind closed doors, you whack.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, I think that might be a whole nother, but that's not cool either. And mm-hmm. So what you have to do is, what we're trying to get you all to do is establish consistency and the standard of how you want to be treated. Like, for instance, me, the same jokes I make behind closed doors, I make those same jokes in public. Mm-hmm. And my wife has the same response of, okay, babe, you're doing too much, or whatever. The same joke, the same way I, you know, tap, you know, cyber booty in the kitchen, I may do that in public. The same speech, the same motivation, like the same aggression and passion and all of that. Whatever you see me do in public,
mm-hmm.
I literally am like that behind closed doors as well.
Literally.
And I'm not like that just with certain people. I'm like that with my daughter, who is 6 years old. My son, who is 1 year old. I did it with him with walking. Like, bruh, no, I'm not. We're not doing about to do all this crawling. You're past one. And so I literally stood him up and let go. And I'm like, you're either going to figure it out or you're going to fall. This is me all the time. And so so this is vice versa as well. If you're in a relationship and you're being treated great behind closed doors and then mistreated, you know, publicly or not validated publicly, that's a problem. But if it's also on the other side, if you're being, you know, treated very well in front of everybody, fronting, that's what we call fronting, but behind closed doors you've been mistreated, that's not cool either. Let's start to have a conversation. Let's get, you know, that other couple in. Let's get some help. Let's get something you know, in the relationship.
And really quick, before you talk about benefits, I do want to point out that the difference in the environments that we're referring to are subtle differences.
Right.
They're things that aren't physically or verbally abusive.
Right.
If those things are happening, there is no maybe this right. is a bad situation
right,
for you.
Right, for sure,
this
sure.
is absolutely a bad situation for you.
Yeah.
And before you have a real conversation with that person, you need to get out of that situation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like, that's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
We are not saying if you are with someone who is physically or verbally abusive to you, that before you should leave them, you should talk to them.
Right, right.
No.
Because that probably won't go well.
No.
But yes, definitely, you know, if abusive is, like, for instance, like, I think I said this on one of the podcasts before where I was like, yo, we don't even use the word stupid in the house, you know, just because there's certain language that we don't want around our family, period. So, you know, verbally abusive, like, I remember, you know, I had a guy I was talking to, and he, like, told his wife, you know, shut your stupid stuff up. And I was like, brother, you called your wife stupid? Hold on, man. Like, we don't do that. That's not, like, we build up our wives. You know what I'm saying? So, that's something that we got to continue to make sure we're doing. So, verbally, if they're being verbally abusive, physically abusive, make sure that, yeah, you immediately talk to someone else, and then you guys, you know, establish a game plan from there. But the things we're talking about, the little subtle things, like, yes, you definitely want to have a conversation. So now, going into some benefits of you establishing this consistency and how you're being treated, right? So one is that you guys both will now start to love each other openly. And I feel like, I know we kind of said that, But loving openly is so dope because it's being unashamed. Like, mm-hmm. you get a chance to just be free for real and just be you. Once you've established that that you're going to love openly, you're establishing a commitment with this person. Once you establish a commitment, then that means you're in it for the long haul. That means that no one else outside of the relationship, no other male or female, matters. And I mean matters like, you know, romantically. No one else matters now because you've decided, like, man, no, this is where I want to be. And so I remember that moment when this really hit me. I was like, shoot, I know where I want to be. And I had conversations with other young ladies like, yo, I know where I want to be, and this is happening, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was such a dope feeling to finally get to that place where, nope, I'm able to love openly. I'm able to love freely, peacefully. No, nothing's coming out the closet. No hiding, whatever. And then finally, it also shows pride in the relationships. And when you start to show pride in your relationship, you will see that other people will love that. Like, we mm-hmm. you will also be able to influence other relationships. Like, we have influence on other people's relationships that we don't even know about. You mm-hmm. know, we just be talking or moving forward, and now other people are like, yo, because of you guys, we started doing date nights every Friday. Because of you guys, you know, we now say intense fellowships. Because of you guys, and they're just feeling that pride mm-hmm. that we have in our relationship. They're experiencing us loving each other publicly, and they see our commitment to each other. So.
And we can guarantee that, you know, if you guys have real conversations and you figure out how to get beyond this space in your relationship and you start to experience some of those benefits, another thing that you will experience is this, and I don't know how to, I know there's probably a word for it, but I can't think of a word, so I'm just going to say this statement, but you begin to experience this situation of the grass isn't always greener type of a deal. So people are going to come up to you and say, you are relationship goals. Mm-hmm. People are going to come up to you and say, oh my God, because of you, mm-hmm. we started date night. Because mm-hmm. of you, we did all of these things. And you're going to look at them and you are going to tell them, imagine, like, I put in work in this thing. And so...
Hold on. You've said that way too many times.
Like, so listen.
Like, I ain't had to put in no work, too.
You absolutely did. But that's what relationships are. Shoot. Like, relationships are work. It's not that honeymoon love that we see in the movies and that you get in the first, you know, sometimes it's only a week. But that you get early on in your relationship where there's butterflies. Like, that's not real. That's not love. That's not relationships. Relationships are work. And you will have so much pride once you identify, I put in the work in this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, for people to look at us today and to be able to say, man, relationship goals. My response is always look at God. And that's not to be overly religious. Let me be real. That's because of where we were and who we were some hot messes wrapped up in everything that was just wrong. And God worked it out. To where now we are a man and a woman of God, actively seeking Him and just seeking to just have real love in our relationship and in our family, and teaching these skills to our children as well, because love is an action. And so we're teaching them to take those actions on a daily basis. And it's real. Like, it's real and it's good.
I wouldn't necessarily describe myself or past as hot mess.
Oh, you were a hot mess.
I wouldn't describe
Listen,
it like
he
that.
Used to wear vocal jerseys, y'all.
What does we'll that have to do with it? What does that have to do with anything? Nelly was hot back then as well.
Anyway, so go ahead, baby. Give us the sum up.
So, first of all, I will agree with what you said. One of my closest friends said, you know, I'm just thinking y'all just celebrated, you know, 9 years of marriage, 14 years in a relationship. And she was like, shoot, if y'all can make it, anybody can make it. And I was like, I just thought that was funny because, you know, she was there. She was a part of the journey mm-hmm. and she, you know, was able to see it all. And so to say that statement, I'm like, that's real. If we can be in this place, then I think that does show that, you know, relationships can make it through a lot of things.
Most people who've seen it all. like counted us out years ago.
For sure.
Most people and we do, we have a select set of friends who have seen it all.
For sure.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even despite seeing all that, I mean, we were counted out a long time ago, but look at God.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
look at his power and how he was able to move in a man and in a woman and to bring us into our destiny and our purpose.
Absolutely. So to wrap everything up, just remember that if you're being treated one way and made to feel very special and all these things behind closed doors or in public, however you, if you're being treated a way that you love and then something shifts, you know, in public or behind closed doors and you don't like that shift, all right, there needs to be a conversation that is happening right away. All right. And that conversation needs to simply be like, hey, I noticed these things. And then and you actually talk actively stating, mm-hmm. this is what I desire. This is what I'm wanting. This is how I would like us to move forward from here. But you also need to respect, you know, their thoughts as well. But again, this is something that you're desiring. So I think there's a conversation that needs to happen. Understand that once you get to a place where you guys establish these standards, do not compromise them. Absolutely. In any way. Even if it happens once, because if you compromise, especially in the beginning, then you break the habit, you break the cycle, and you have to start all over again. So that's why it's very important that you establish it, you keep it going, you be consistent, you find some consistency, and then you continue with it. And then we also talked about, you know, what does this do for your relationship? When you have that consistency of being treated and validated openly and in public, it creates the pride. It creates commitment. I think it creates security and not just securing your relationship, but securing yourself, securing your image, secure as, you know, you being able to love and being worthy of being loved. So there's a lot of benefits that come when someone is just proud to be with you, proud to acknowledge you, proud to show you off, and just proud to let the world know, like, man, I love this person, or I want to be with this person, and I'm here to stay. So I think that's dope. So again, we'll be back next week. So if you guys have any comments, did we miss out on anything, definitely comment wherever you're listening to this. You know, leave comments, send us an email, however you want to do it. Follow us on social media. And we'll be back next week.
This is most definitely episode 6 and not 5.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. Stop violating me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Smiling was number 5.
He or she is not actively pursuing you. Too many secrets and don't make you laugh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the laugh part.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, so, yeah, you were wrong.
This is number 6.
It's okay. So, you thank you for tuning in to
stop,
Real Life, Real Love, Real Family, Living Our Dreams and Building a Legacy. Get y'all a little snippet of what's coming.
All right, this is your man, Where's Taylor?
Melody.